So tell me, Simon, how much money do you save each month?
Not very much, I'm afraid. I always seem to spend most of it.
What do you spend it on?
Well, I earn $2,000 per month. My rent costs me $600 a month. So that's more than a quarter gone straight away. And bills are usually around $95 a month. But the second biggest expense is food. I must spend around $450 on food each month. New York is not a cheap city, you know.
I know. And how about traveling? Do you spend much on transport?
Well, I can't drive, so I always take public transport. So taxis, buses, and trains probably cost me about $60 a month.
Do you go out much, say, to the cinema or theater?
Yes, a couple of times a month. I suppose that would be called entertainment. I also hire a few videos, so I probably spend about $80 on that each month. But I love music, and I buy a lot of CDs each month. I must spend about $120 on music alone.
Wow, you must love it.
Yes, but I don't drink, so I never spend any money on alcohol.
But you do smoke, don't you?
Yes, and that's expensive. Cigarettes must cost me about $175 a month.
You should give up, or cut down at least. Then you could buy more music.
Yes, maybe you're right.
What about clothes and shoes and things? Do you spend much on those each month?
No, not really. About $70, I suppose. But I do spend a lot on books and magazines.
Oh, how much?
Around $100, I'd say. Mostly music and entertainment magazines, and novels.
Well, that's about $1,700 a month. So you save around $300 each month. That's not bad, really.
Yes, but I should save more.
Hong Kong is a place of rapid change, and it always has been. When Captain Elliot arrived in January 1841, he described it as a barren rock. Over the next 50 years or so, however, Hong Kong grew steadily. Old photographs from that period show that, unlike today, the buildings were all built in the same style. Surprisingly, the men who designed the first buildings were often not architects. Nothing can be more dangerous than looking at pictures of buildings and trying to copy bits of them, said A.W. Pugin, the great Victorian architect. This, however, is exactly what the designers of Hong Kong's first buildings did. They took designs from every European book of architecture they could find and put them all together to create strange new designs. This type of design later became known as the colonial style. Then World War II came. The Japanese knocked down the Kowloon Walled City and Japanized Government House. Most of Hong Kong's buildings were in a terrible state by this time. During the previous century, the government had turned the hillsides of Hong Kong green by planting hundreds of trees. After the war, clusters of squatter huts began to appear on the hillsides as refugees arrived from China. These clusters soon became villages and then towns, until almost every square foot of hillside was occupied by squatter huts. Unfortunately, disaster struck in December 1953 at Chek Kit Mei. A fire spread through the squatter villages and 58,000 people were left homeless. As a result, the government set up a public housing program, with the first flats being built at Wong Tai Sin. Today, more than half the population of Hong Kong lives in public housing. In 1973, the government began building new towns in the new territories. Now, there are 8 new towns with a total population of 2.5 million. Throughout the 1980s, a new style of building became popular, a good example being the Bank of China building. Such a modern style is ideal for Hong Kong because the look of a building is considered more important than its proportion. Glass box buildings are rapidly becoming unfashionable, however. As a result, Hong Kong's skyline may soon be filled with colorful structures with tall spires, and perhaps a pagoda-style roof may even begin to appear.